What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At MetroPCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to MetroPCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kimberly Krieger, the founder of Fellowship of Extraordinary Women, wants to help empower you to live an extraordinary life and tell your story. My name is Heather Taylor, and I want to welcome you to Coffee with Kim on Blog Talk Radio. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Krieger.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Kim.
Hi, Miss Kim. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you hearing some feedback?
I am. I think it's my phone, so I'm just going to make sure I muted it. And I think that should be good. How about you?
All right, let's try it again. Oh, that's better. I don't hear feedback. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're we're FaceTiming, as you guys know. We do that while we do the show. And I think you might not have muted your phone, Ms. Kim.
Oh, no, mine was muted.
Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't mute mine then.
Yeah. It was me. Hey, let's get into an argument about who screwed that up.
Yeah. I'm sure it was you, so I'm good. No.
I know, and I'm sure it was you, and that's why we get along so well, because we're both okay
exactly.
with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with you thinking I'm wrong.
I'm fine with you thinking I'm wrong, too. See, you know what? We're secure.
Right. Oh, my goodness. There. What? Way to plug. Let me just, come on.
What a segue into our topic.
Segue. There's the word I was looking for.
So glad you're here with us tonight, this morning. We're not pre-recording this. Who said that? Anyway, we're so glad that you guys are here with us. We have an exciting, amazing show. We have a wonderful guest. You guys are going to love her. Heather and I love her. We've adopted her into the, what do you call it, the flock?
The Kimberly and Heather Adopted Children Program.
Apparently. Well, Heather's, that's really your program. I have enough kids, but you want to turn everybody into your child and cook for them. It's actually adorable. But
women that God is putting in our way here. I love our way. In a good way, though. God's throwing them right in front of us as we walk. But no, seriously, you know how you just meet someone and you have a heart for them? You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. I was going to say, should that be our opening question with Christina? So, Christina, how do you feel about being put in our way? Anyway,
we're going to get to that.
We have good stuff planned, but before we get there, a lot of our listeners have been reaching out, sending messages, just flooding the Krieger clan with love because if you haven't heard, I'll fill you in, bring you up to speed. But my son, my oldest son, Jesse, who's 29 years old, father of 2, was in a terrible car accident. I guess it would be about 2.5 weeks ago now on a Saturday evening, wet pavement, bad rain, bald tires and rear wheel drive all added up to a near death experience. In fact, we just learned the other day that one of the, I don't know what the title is, of the person that recreates the accident scene. And, you know, I know there's technical words for that. And if any of our listeners are listening.
The recreator.
The accident scene recreation specialist.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
Whoever that person is told my son that according to the statistics and the, you know, all the numbers, number crunching they do and the speed they were going and how the cars hit and blah, 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 there should have been no living people, nobody alive. It should have been a 100% fatal accident.
Right.
It was a woman. She said point blank, you had a 0% chance statistically of surviving. What's so remarkable about that, you guys who are listening, if you haven't seen the pictures yet, my son's car was literally shredded. Like, it looked like the metal went through a shredder, and it was just strewn out all the way behind the car, like feet, like 25 feet of metal.
Right.
And there was no back seat, no trunk, no front passenger seat. There was about 2/3 of the front end were gone. And all that was intact, all that you could recognize as a car, was his driver's seat.
So wait a minute. The picture that I saw, the entire passenger side is gone, missing.
Gone.
I thought that they came in and they like extracted that, that the jaws of death. That was what happened. Oh, my word.
That is what happened. He basically, like, somebody put it this way, and it's perfectly accurate. It's like God's hand came down from heaven and formed a cage around his seat. And so there's a photo of him in the seat with an off-duty EMT who just happened to be three cars behind.
Oh, my gosh.
She jumps out and she runs to the scene. So there's a photo of her holding his head and neck and supporting it while they waited. He actually
broke four
vertebrae in his neck.
Right.
And so she was she was a godsend. If he would have moved the wrong way, he could be a quad or dead.
Right, right, yeah.
So anyway, she was on the scene right away. And in this one photo where she's holding his neck, you see that his right arm is all bloodied. And he basically said, "Mom, when all that metal was ripped from the car, that literally ripped out half of the front seat and the entire back seat and most of the front end," he said, "that blood on my arm is from where that scathed my skin as the car was being ripped in half."
Oh, my God.
I mean,
it is a miracle that he's here.
It's a miracle. And so 4 vertebrae broken in his neck, 4 breaks in his sacrum or tailbone, and a collapsed lung, multiple broken ribs, and one of his broken ribs lacerated his right lung slightly, so the left lung was completely collapsed. And so he had a chest tube, and it was bad. It was painful, but get this, you guys, no brain injury, no spinal cord injury, and he was out of the hospital in 8 days.
That's amazing. I can't even believe that. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
If you would have seen him in the hospital, I mean, he's in a neck brace. He can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. He had to have pins put in his pelvis, through the pelvis to the tailbone to hold the bones in place while they heal. So absolutely no weight bearing on either leg.
Oh, you can relate to that, right?
Yes. You know, and what maybe some of our listeners don't know is 3 years ago this month, I was hit by a car. I had surgery on my pelvis. I was in a wheelchair. It's just, it's crazy.
Yes, I know. It's insane.
It's
but
crazy.
Praise God, he's out of the hospital and he's like doing great, right? Even the pain is manageable now?
The pain is more manageable. What's really funny, I took him to the doctor, not funny really, but you got to laugh sometimes at this stuff. Yeah. We're talking to the surgical doc about his recovery. He's asking questions and my son says, "Well, my left lung is the one that collapsed and my right lung just had that little laceration, but for some reason my right side is killing me. Like, it's just, it feels like this lung was the one that really took the beating." And the doctor says, "Well, that's from the broken ribs." And both myself and my son are like, "What broken ribs?" No one ever told us.
Oh, you didn't know his ribs were broken?
We never, no one told us. So we found out 2 weeks later he had broken ribs. And he said, "Well,
that's
that explains why I can't sleep anywhere but on my back without being in agony."
I just assumed that he had broken ribs because of the punctured lung, because that's normally how that happens. But I didn't realize So how many broken ribs?
And that part, he had another appointment coming up. So we were so in shock that no one told us. We were like chins on the floor. We actually said to the guy, "Well, that would have been nice to know, you know." And he's like, "Oh, we're sorry." And that was really I collectively
apologize
for the entire hospital staff that nobody told you that you have broken ribs. I mean, it wouldn't have made a difference because they don't treat them, but it just, you know, for him to go, "Man, why does my side hurt so bad?" Well, you got broken ribs. So,
Maybe
but yeah, he, He's doing great. He's got a great attitude. He's positive. He knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, his life is a miracle. And if you ask him, he said, well, I'm pretty sure that was my ninth life. And yeah. So you know what he said? You guys, this is so funny. My son is a rap musician, and he just is, he's one of those guys that just, he lives on the edge, and he goes, I hope this doesn't mean I have to get boring.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He's like,
what is he saying? You can't like live like us and have a great life. We're not boring.
Well, depends on who you ask, right? Because maybe to him we are, but you know, and maybe that's a message for someone who's listening. Like, you think serving God is boring and it's about following rules, but serving God is an adventure. You know, the things that he put in your heart that are exciting to you, those things aren't boring. Those things excite you, and he put them there because it's what you're called to do, you know?
I've had more excitement this year than I have honestly had in the past 15 years. That is so, I'm dead serious.
Wow. That makes
I have
me
traveled
feel so
more.
Good.
I have written a book, you know, a chapter in a book. I'm doing this. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Serving God is fun.
Well,
and I'm not boring.
And isn't it fair to say, you're not boring, I agree, but isn't it fair to say that serving God also makes you face your fear, and when you have to use
and
your courage
you,
and
yes.
do things that scare the snot out of you, that isn't boring, that is,
terrifying.
Adrenaline. Yeah.
Yeah. My husband and I just had this conversation, that's why it's so funny you brought it up, and we were both saying, God has put me, and we've talked about this, Kim, you know, in a state of, like, just, patiently waiting and trying to figure out what he wants. But I knew it was God. I knew it was, and I'm learning, I think, was my key. And Terry said, if you weren't doing what you're doing with Kim right now, you would never have followed through with everything that you followed through with. And it's true, because Kim pushes me to be a better person, and God pushes me to be a better person, and realizing what I now know is my destiny changes everything. But
wow.
if I was doing it on my own, I probably wouldn't finish it. So yeah, being a Christian and trying to reach your destiny for God, it is anything but boring.
Amen.
Amazing.
And you know what?
Amen
talking
for
about
that.
Speaking of segues, we are going to now welcome our guest on the call. I want to introduce you guys to Christina Ward. And actually, I'm going to let Heather take over and introduce our dear friend Christina, because Heather has her bio. That's what Heather gave me.
Oh, hey guys.
That is so funny, because guess what? Her bio is on Facebook and I'm FaceTiming, but I will get it. I'm so sorry, Christina. I'm totally going to get it right now. But why don't we let Christina kind of introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her.
Well, let
me
welcome
absolutely.
You officially, Christina. We are. This is how we roll on Coffee with Kim. We hashtag keep it real. So,
amen.
This is Heather and I. We fly by the seat of our pants sometimes, but we love what we do, and we're so excited to have you on the show. Welcome to Coffee with Kim, Christina Ward.
Yay. Well, thank you guys. I'm so excited to be a part of it. You guys are too funny. Just that little bit that I was listening to, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be fun.
See, we're not boring.
No, we're not
you guys
boring.
Are anything but.
It is so awesome to hear your voice, because you and I have kind of been, you know, having a little bit of dialogue on Facebook, but we haven't really talked. And when the place we met, Christina, we should say, was at the last retreat that Kim did. And I really hardly got to talk to you at all, truthfully, Christina.
I know.
But every time I looked at you, you just had this beautiful calmness about you, and you kind of draw people in.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
I felt like I was kind of out of it, to be honest with you, just really quiet.
No,
you know,
I love that
about you.
You kind
of put in
those
situations. So, but, but yeah, no, I know it's been so much fun just kind of going back and forth with you on Facebook. And, you know, I hate that we didn't get to really talk whenever we were together, but that'll change, because I know that there will be more events, I'm sure, that
absolutely.
I'll at least come and see you and meet you, you know, hang out with you guys. But
absolutely.
But yeah.
Well, Christina, why don't you take a minute and tell us what you're currently doing with your gifts in Nashville, Tennessee? I'm so excited for our listeners to find out about this.
Yeah, and I actually have it in front of me now, too. So you just go ahead, Christina, and I'll jump in.
Yeah, So as you guys were saying just a little while ago, you were talking about like you're stepping out on faith and like using the gifts that God's given you and things like that. Well, that's exactly what I did about 3 years ago. I've been doing music pretty much my whole entire life, and I have just always felt called into music ministry. And like you just mentioned, if it doesn't scare you, then it's probably not a God-given dream.
Amen.
You know, and so 3 years ago, God had just been like dealing with me and dealing with me. And so I literally took the leap of faith to move to Nashville. I didn't know anybody. I had one acquaintance, and literally made the decision, didn't have a job or anything lined up. And it's so like not my personality whatsoever. So I went, and he literally, when I tell you, like lined everything up. Like the weekend that I moved, I had a job the following week. Within 6 months, I met the core group of individuals that I really needed to just help me start on this journey, to really jump into like the music ministry aspect of it. And so I made my first, EP, and I've been going gung-ho ever since, and it's been crazy and amazing and scary all at the same time.
I like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kim. For those of us who aren't music literate, what is an EP?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's
okay. So an EP is just, it's a smaller version of an album. It's five songs instead of a full album. So it just kind of gives you a little bit of just a feel of just the music that, you know,
right.
The music, the artist, and so forth without having the whole album. So
that's
amazing,
Christina. I bet you did a lot of things that scared you in the last couple of years.
Yes, it has been, there have been so many stories. But the coolest thing is like in the midst of all the stories, you can literally see the hand of God just in the midst of just moving pieces into place, like perfect, like nothing's forced. It just like literally is just lining up. And it's all in just stepping out and being obedient and just trusting him, you know, even with the things that are, like, terrifying. Because, like I said, I mean, I moved here and I didn't know anybody, you know. I mean, that in itself.
I can't even
like,
imagine.
You're
terrifying.
A rock star. I mean, pun intended, right?
I don't know about all that. I don't know if
you're
I'm
a rock star
or just crazy.
Well, no, that to me, that is like you are following your destiny. You are facing every fear. You have literally no crutch, nothing to lean on but God. I mean, to me, that's a trailblazing woman of destiny. I love it. It's so inspiring. I just don't know many women who would uproot and move to a whole other city without any connections whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things, though. I mean, it's like you get one life. You know, and that's part of my testimony. Like, there, you know, God's given us one life, and you know, I've seen firsthand, and maybe I'll get to share it with you guys here, maybe later. But you know, I saw, you know, the tail end of my, you know, my dad was very sick, and towards the end of his life, I just realized how life, you know, how short life is. And so between that and just the stirring and just knowing, you know, all that God had, like, that's what gave me the push. That was the final push.
Wow,
you
that
know,
was like the last gift your dad gave you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
that
amazing.
Is awesome.
I'm so sorry.
I love it.
Yeah. Wow. So I know that you told me that you did have some insecurities that you had to deal with earlier on, but you don't sound like an insecure woman to me to up and just move to Nashville. So you have to kind of help us understand that a little bit more.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So my whole backstory, I'll try to just wrap it up in a very quick glimpse. Growing up, I grew up, I seriously faced so many different insecurities. My dad was, like I was saying, was very sick. Ever since I can remember, I was 2 years old when he was sick. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia, paranoia. And so I kind of grew up in a household where it was, you know, my mom did the very best that she could as far as just trying to keep you know, keep him out of the hospital so he could still live somewhat of a normal life, but that, and then just her dealing with her own, you know, her own battles with that, and just, you know, the whole dimension of, like, what that brought into our family. From a little kid early on, I just kind of, I'm the oldest of three, I stepped in, and I took on a lot of responsibilities that most children shouldn't have to take on. But in the midst of all that, like, you know, like the things that, like, I've always struggled with because of just the background and the stuff that I kind of had to face and deal with, the enemy's always just used it, but just not feeling good enough. Like, that was one of my biggest insecurities, like, all through life, even up till, you know, adulthood. I still sometimes even struggle with just, you know, that insecurity of just not feeling good enough, adequate enough.
That's so not
feeling
true.
Very isolated and very alone. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's like the enemy takes those insecurities and, like, he twists them. And, you know, I went through, like, all my childhood, adolescence, just feeling just, you know, unloved and unwanted and just not good enough. And then, you know, and then God stepped in, and that's when everything changed. I gave my life to Christ at 14. And from that point on, he literally put me into a position where I was surrounded with a church family, a church community that just helped me really see the love of Christ, to actually see what it was like to be loved, to feel that love, and just really build me up as into, like, the woman of God that, you know, I am.
That you are today. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he used that time frame, you know, like when I got saved and, you know, that community and, like, the process of all of that, and brought me to the point of knowing who I am in Christ. 'Cause that's the key. That's the key to the insecurities. It's knowing exactly
who
you
are
in Christ. You know who you are, and who you are is, you know, is based on your relationship with him. It's who he says you are.
Right.
You know, Christina, one of the questions I was going to ask you today that isn't in the notes we sent you, you really just answered it. And it was, is there a cure for insecurity? And I know what I tell women, and, you know, and I'll just tell you right now, it's exactly what you just said, that the cure for insecurity is restoring your original identity. It's it's who does God say you are? How does God see you? And how does God talk to you? Those are the three things. I think if women can talk to themselves the way God talks to them, and let me tell you, if you think God is a big taskmaster and a drill sergeant in the sky, you're wrong, you know, because I did for many years. I thought God's voice was berating me, but that was my voice, you know.
Amen.
So if we can talk to ourselves the way God talks to us, if we can see ourselves the way he sees us, and if we can say about ourselves what his word, you know, and believe about ourselves what his word says about us, you know, and I had to learn a lot about how God isn't limited by time. So we're standing here going, it's 2017, and I have such a long way to go. I may possibly become a decent human being by 2063. Okay. And so, and that's a big maybe. Okay. And
you're right.
So we're sitting here thinking that way, and, like, how can God see me as holy? How can God see me as righteous? Mm-hmm. How can God see me as complete? And, you know, how can blah, blah, blah. And so I had to learn that God doesn't look at us in the realm of time. He sees the beginning from the end from the beginning. His perspective is eternal. And when we began to be what the Bible calls in Christ, meaning we now belong to God, we were assigned righteousness, holiness, basically innocence. We were justified. So, you know, our sins were washed away. We were no longer guilty, but we were acquitted. And, you know, and that's how we're seen by God, because it's like our legal status in heaven changed. And all we have to do is say, my legal status in heaven changed, and that affects my legal status on this earth, period. Like, I'm in a whole different category now. I might not feel like it. I might not act like it. I might not even sound like it sometimes. But the Bible says it's true, so I believe it.
Amen. Amen to that.
Most powerful transformation will take place in a woman. And I love that you have this passion for this topic, because it is, in my opinion, the one thing I think, there's many, many things, but I think a lot of our obstacles fall under the umbrella of insecurity. It's the one big giant thing that keeps us from fully entering into our destinies for God.
So true. Yeah. And it's also the one thing the devil really can pound into you, because the minute you get a little bit of, you know, I'm going down the right path, I'm doing the right thing, that's when he hits you hard. No, you're not. This is your pride, you know, and he can. You just have to really know the word of God and what God has planned for you. And it's such an important thing for young women, I feel, you know, insecurity and people like you standing up for this and saying, you know, hey, that's not true. Those are all lies. It's so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, I mean, the key is just recognizing those insecurities and realizing that they are lies. You know, they're insecurities, but they are lies. And he will take everything that he possibly can and try to twist them to make, you know, make you not reach your destiny, you know.
Absolutely. So. And Christina, you shared that, you know, a really big one for you was that, you know, not thinking that you deserved or were worth or we're good enough, you know.
That's good,
Can you share, you know, a specific example of how insecurity has impacted maybe, let's say, some relationships in your life?
Oh, man, yes. They played a big part for a long time, just, you know, struggling with not feeling good enough or worthy enough or, you know, like that anybody could actually just, you know, love me for me, you know, it put a lot of pressure on relationships. It put a lot of strain.
So true.
You know, and that's probably one of the biggest things that probably played as far as the relationships go with, you know, with those insecurities, because they were so deeply rooted inside of me. And it's truly who I thought I was. You know, so it played out in those relationships. It played out in, you know, a lot of different aspects of my life, but especially those relationships. So
I really
it was a huge struggle.
I like how you said it put a lot of pressure on the relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, insecurity is kind of like this bottomless pit. And when we feel insecure, there's no amount of love, care, and attention that can satisfy it. It's like insatiable, because no matter what happens, at the core of it is this questioning. If there's such a big yeah but at the core of insecurity, that even if the whole world said they loved you, you'd have a yeah but, and then you'd be feeling insecure again 5 minutes later, you know?
Yeah. And you think about that insecurity, and then you put it into like a relationship context, and like, you can just imagine, I mean, think about the pressure that puts on somebody, you know?
Like, hi, I love you. It's your job to make me feel secure. Good luck.
Yeah. Make me feel loved. Because I don't love myself. I need you to love me, and I need you to love me again. Exactly.
I need you to just keep telling me. Can you tell me that like a million times a day?
Yeah, exactly. And I came out here with makeup on, and you didn't recognize it within 3 seconds, so I have a real problem.
Right?
I don't know anything about this topic, though.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just grasping at straws, Miss Heather. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm totally pulling that out of the, you know, the wool. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying.
Honey, okay, we just have to pause for a little commercial break. A copy of Kim commercial break. So Miss Heather has a long-standing reputation for getting puns and figures of speeches totally wrong. It's just, it's hilarious. We don't even correct her anymore. We just laugh at her. And
so make fun of me.
She just took pull it out of the woodwork and pull the wool over your eyes and made it into a whole new saying and said, I just pulled that out of the wool.
I'm writing that one down, Kim.
Please do. Add it to all
you
the others.
I said that, but I wasn't sure. I
was like, no, you were right, Christina.
She pulled it out of the wall.
That's our question. That's our winning question for the day, okay? I want to know, what did I say wrong?
Yes. That, okay, but really, but really, it's our Coffee with Kim commercial break. So to win one winner, the first person who goes in our Coffee with Kim private group and posts what Heather said wrong wins a Coffee with Kim mug full of goodies.
Yeah.
Wait, can I do that too? Am I allowed? Or
how about I would send you a mug?
That would kind of be cheating. But no, you are welcome to one of the arts on the show, Christina. Christian show,
okay,
Christina.
I'm glad I could offer the humorous break. Now let's get back to insecurity. It kind of sucks.
Okay.
Insecurity does suck. I mean, you know, I'm sure you ladies can relate. I just spent so much of my life insecure. And, you know, women today say to me, I can't even imagine that because you're so confident, or you just don't seem like you would question anything or struggle with this or that. And it's not that I never do. I just do so much less than I ever did before, but I think I'm still human.
Yeah.
So there's going to be times where I get sucked into comparing. But when I do that, I go, what are you doing? Knock it off. The Bible says we don't compare, that it's foolishness. I run my own race. I have my own gifts. I have my own path. And, you know, I ran into this yoga instructor, and she shared something with me years ago. I know this seems like it doesn't apply, but it does. She shared something with me that was so pivotal for me. She said, I don't believe that we have to worry about who's getting what clients or who's getting what opportunity or who's making more money at this. Like, even if we're all trying to do the same thing, she said, I don't believe we ever have to worry about that. And then she went on to tell me her philosophy that really changed my thinking. And she said, I believe there's abundance for all.
Wow.
And, you know, that simple statement, there's abundance for all. When I hear things like that, I immediately test it against the word. It's just how my brain works. I go, is that biblical?
Mm-hmm.
And man, is that biblical. I mean,
yeah.
We serve a God.
So good.
Endless. Mm-hmm. Of resources. He gives gifts to every man, woman, and child. And when we're talking about gifts, talents, destiny, opportunity, people we're called to reach, there is abundance for all.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard you say that. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Even though you just got through saying, sometimes I think I'm still human. I'm going to let that pass because that was so good.
What did I say?
What? You literally said, I think I'm still human when you were going through. Like,
well,
I
yeah, that's
pretty,
a,
I think
that
didn't
exactly
human.
Come out right. But sometimes I know how human I am. Let's put it that way. But, you know, when I start getting sucked into some form of insecurity, I literally catch it and go, whoa, there's abundance for all. And I run my own race. And I have all these little catch sayings that
I love it.
Or catch phrases in my head that I know what those mean because I've had revelation of that. Like, I have so deep in my heart that every woman has a race to run and our races are not supposed to look the same. And so as soon as you're going, why doesn't my race look like hers? Well, you're asking the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to look like hers. You're literally beating your head against the brick wall just by asking that question.
That is
you
so
know?
True.
And
that
so,
is so true.
I mean, learning to embrace the abundance God has for each of us, the call, the gift, and then really just saying, yes, Lord, yes, I'll run my race for you. There's so much joy in that, even if you haven't yet. Like, I'm sure, Christina, on your list of things you want to accomplish for God, it's probably long. And because you're, you know, a lot younger than me and Miss Heather, there's probably a lot of things on there you haven't put a check mark next to yet, right? And so, but, you know, you can look at that list two ways. You can look at it like, am I ever going to get there? Do I have what it takes? Will God be faithful to me? Or you can look at that long list and say, this is my destiny. The fact that I'm on this path is joy. I don't need to worry about the timing. I don't need to worry about how. I don't need to worry about who's going to open these doors. I need to stand firm on the promise of God. My security is in the guarantee of the Word of God. That's where my security is from. It's not from people anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and we really choose every day to look at our destiny in one or, you know, of those two ways.
I love that. I absolutely love that. It's so true.
Well, and on that note, I want to hear your opinion on this. How important is it to become secure in order to make your mark on the world? Like, imagine you fulfill every dream in your heart, but you do it as an insecure woman. And then imagine you fulfill every dream God placed in your heart as a secure woman. What's the difference?
What's the difference? It's a great question. Well, if you're doing it as an insecure woman, you're always going to be questioning yourself. You're going to be doubting everything. But I feel like when you are secure and you know, like, you know that God has an abundance for you, that God has everything lined up for you, and you are just living in who you are in Him, I feel like that confidence that that brings will help you, like, conquer so many things versus if you're still trying to conquer these things in an insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doubting everything, and it's not even, I don't even know how impactful you're really going to be, because you're going to be questioning everything. It's going to hold you back. I feel like there's a hindrance. It's a hindrance. Whereas if you're walking in security, there's no hindrance. You have no fear. Or, well, I don't want to say you have no fear. You have fear, but you're trusting the Lord that He is going to make a way. And that in itself, that's the difference.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
I want to add a further dimension that I think is so key for women. So I could do all the great things, like let's say I author 100 books, and I have women from all over the creation as members of Few. You know, this is my vision, to have Few circles of chosen women all over the earth gathering together to live extraordinary lives and tell their stories. And, you know, I do want to author 100 books before I die, and maybe more. But imagine I do all that as an insecure woman. How in the world am I going to build and pour into other women and call out the greatness in them and call out the gift in them if I'm threatened by it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. And when you put it that way, it's so clear, right?
Yeah.
But yet we struggle with it all the time.
But it's yet so I look at my journey, you guys, and I was riddled with insecurity. I was insecure about what I looked like, what I wore, how much money I made, what my house looked like, how my kids behaved, what my marriage appeared like to the rest of the world, what people thought of me, how I spoke, if people thought I was intelligent, the fact that I didn't go to college. I mean, just you want to see my most insecure moment? Put me in the middle of a party where inevitably I had the most kids and the smallest income and the crappiest car, okay? Which was
an award for
20 years of my life, Heather. Like, for 20 years of my life, that was me at every function where there were all these people. And I started out paralyzed, just doing what I had to do to get through. And by the end, and I tell this story, I told this story to someone so dear to my heart recently, and it really impacted them. And I thought, hey, if I went through this just for this one person I love, it was worth it. But the story is this, that I was married to my first husband. It was at the end of the marriage. The last several years of our marriage involved a lot of trouble with the law on his part. We had police at our home frequently. We lived on a main, very visible highway in a fairly small community. And so every time we had party lights in our driveway, as my husband calls them, my current husband, the whole town knew about it, you know. And it's like if there was a town drunk, it was him, you know. And I don't really know that, but that's what it felt like. Like, we were that family and blah, blah, blah. The police all knew me on a first-name basis. It just, you know, we had a lot of kids and a little bit of money. We lived in this broken-down house, and there were just a lot of reasons to be insecure and embarrassed. But by this point in my walk with God, I began to really know who I was. And there were pretty few situations that would bring out my insecurities by this point, but there were still some. And one happened to be when we had to go to a school function, and you're just wall to wall with all the parents in the community. And there, you just feel in a fishbowl, and there's no escape. And so it was a night of one of the kids had a presentation or a concert at school. And I just, in my own self-talk, I just went, man, do I really have to go to this? Like, how crushed would my kid be if I didn't go? And all I could think about was how insecure I felt, how small I felt, how I pictured myself in those hallways of that school. I was an ant and they were giants. And it's just what I pictured. And, you know,
so not true, by the way.
Right. But I mean, I was comparing, and that's what comparing leads to. That's what insecurity does.
Yeah.
And so I made the decision in my self-talk, I have to go. This is, you're going, Kim, this is for your child, you know? So I get myself together and I'm going to go to this thing and I'm getting ready to walk out the door. And the Lord interrupts me and he says to me, don't forget to wear your crown.
Amen, sister.
Oh, wow.
Don't forget to.
Amen.
And in that moment, my posture straightened. My shoulders went back. My head was lifted. In that moment, I remembered I was a daughter of God. I was an ambassador for the kingdom. That nothing in this life compares. Nothing in this life compares to the eternal and to our greater purpose. And that I'm on this earth for a reason so much bigger than what I wear and what people think of me and what my house looks like. And people's judgments. And I put my crown on and I went to that school and I smiled and made eye contact and greeted people as if I was
a couple souls.
I went as a real ambassador. I thought, if I'm representing the kingdom of God, if I'm representing a kingdom in the natural, what would I act like? Would I walk in shoulders slumped looking at the floor? No. I'd walk in there with shoulders back, head held high, representing the glory of my King. And that's what I did that day. And it was such a lesson. And I've told that story at other times and other places, but more recently when I shared this with someone really near and dear to my heart, someone in my everyday life. And then they came back to me and said, that thing you told me, it's working. And they're like, I put my crown on whenever I feel insecure now. And
my shoulders back and straighten my crown.
Oh, it just made my life, I'm telling you. And it really is exactly what you said, Christina. It's seeing ourselves the way God sees us. If we can get that in there, we will never be the same.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
That's so awesome.
Amen to that. That's, wow, that's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Well,
she has a
great visual.
As is yours. And I just want to ask you one more question, Christina, and we have some other things we're going to jump to. But, you know, how do you intend to, and I know it's God willing and it's God's going to, you know, really lead you and open doors. But like in your heart, how do you intend to share the message of being secure in Christ with women? And who are the women? Are they young women? Or, you know, who is your target audience and how are you going to get your message out?
So my heart has, obviously it has always been just women's ministry in general. I have already, and I'm starting to feel led that way again, but mentoring young women again.
I love it.
It was something that I've done for years and years, where I was just one-on-one mentoring and just pouring out and just really investing in their lives. So on a personal level, outside of just even music or anything like that, just pouring in and you know, just being there, you know, and having that, you know, those relationships to help be able to just help them. So I see myself, you know, in the midst of still doing all this music, you know, because I do see myself going to conferences. I do see myself speaking to women, investing, you know, and just pouring out, you know, the stories that God's given me and just from the journey and stuff that I have, you know, really speaking life and encouragement into women's lives through, you know, through speaking, but also through the music that I'm writing and putting out there. But along with that,
when is your new album coming out? I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make sure we get that out. And I also want to make sure I tell everybody out there, I have all this information that she gave me, and I'm going to put it on our Facebook so you guys will be able to see where you can contact her, get her albums, and
I want you guys to have it, you know, and listen to it. I'm my biggest thing is I just pray that it encourages you and it uplifts you. That's my biggest thing. You know, if I can take everything that I've gone through and just pour it out there and let that be something that is used to encourage and uplift and give people, you know, empowerment, that's I've done my job. So, but my new album is coming out. I'm actually going to release it the first of the year. I'm working on a devotion to go along with it. There's kind of been a journey with this album. So
I know a publisher if you're looking for one.
Yeah, I think I might know that publisher.
Oh, sorry, I'm shameless. Awesome. I promote Kim everywhere I go.
She does. She shamelessly promotes me, and I don't mind.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You guys are awesome.
Well, Christina, we are so blessed and pleased to have had you on the show tonight and tomorrow, today, morning, whatever time.
Just like in security,
yeah.
Kim.
Okay, I'm really, security sucks, and so does pre-recording your show, because it messes with your head. But it's all good, you guys. We're just so happy you're listening, and that in spite of us, you keep listening.
No
doubt.
But
Christina, you are just such a blessing to women. I love your heart. I just want to encourage you and take a moment and say, you know, it's not an accident that God put these messages on your heart and that He took your brokenness, you know, and he really weaved together a beautiful tapestry and a message that comes out of your own pain. And that's the most powerful message we can share. It's the one that comes from our own valleys, you know, and as you continue to forge your way and run that race with God, you are just going to have more and more and more material to share with women. I see you speaking, I see you singing, I see you doing it all, writing, and being a source for young women especially. I just sense that you have this really calming way with young women.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't you say, Heather?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. The minute
just
you meet her, you see that.
Peaceful. Just that you bring a peace. And, you know, our young people today are just so hurting and frenzied and rushed and distracted and, you know, ADD and all that. And, you know, by that, I just mean squirrel moments every 30 seconds. And, you know, your presence in the room just,
it's calming.
I have people in my life like that who just walk in the room and I'm more calm because they walked in the room and you bring that. So
first thing you notice,
powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
so sweet.
Gorgeous. Well, let's just be honest.
Oh.
Beautiful woman, but then you notice how calm and sweet she is.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You ladies are amazing as well, and I appreciate you taking the time to let me be on the show and to talk and share my heart and share with you guys. And I hope something that I've said tonight has spoken to somebody, you know, on some level. And I really do. You guys are amazing, and I think what you're doing is incredible. So thank you.
Aww.
Thank you for letting me have the honor to be a part.
You are so sweet and welcome. Yeah. Once again, we will get everything that Christina's involved with. We'll get it up on the website so you guys can reach out to her if you want her to come and speak to a group of especially young women. Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure you support her, get her album. And when is that coming out? Your newest one. You're in the studio right now, right?
I'm in the studio right now, so we're finishing it up the end of this month, but I'm not actually going to release it until January. So looking at like January 1st, the first of the year.
Oh,
exciting.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get all that.
Congratulations. Do we
Thank
have
you.
An album name? Are you able to tell us what it'll be called? Or?
We are actually still working on the album name, but I'll give you a little bit of a clue inside of it. So it's strictly, it's completely a worship album. The idea and the heart
Kim
behind it
worship.
Is, this one is all worship. the whole story behind it is actually bringing it all back to the heart of worship, bringing myself, bringing you before the Lord and bringing that presence, just that time between you and God. So that's what the album's all about.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's my favorite. Those are my favorite. I just love them. So,
Every morning, you
make sure you keep in touch with us. You share that link with us. And Heather and I will also share that on our personal Facebook pages when that comes out.
Absolutely.
We'll help you spread the word. We believe in you. We believe you're an extraordinary woman. And we're so blessed.
Oh,
thank you, Christina.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank
Have
you.
A great night.
So good to talk to you.
You too. We'll talk soon.
Bye, beautiful lady. Bye, Christina.
Bye.
Oh, so precious.
She is. Oh, my gosh. Isn't she just, like, sweet, like, dripping with sweetness?
Dripping
unlike
with
us.
Sweetness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so unlike us.
Unlike me, for sure. Yeah. Every time I talked to her at the retreat, maybe five times, we never had a conversation, but I pulled her outside the last day she did a promo for the retreat. And I just looked at her and I'm like, oh man, like there was this unbelievable calmness about her. I felt more calm in that moment than I did the whole weekend. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
She's one of those people that's like a deep, deep well, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
You just sense the depth in her. She's amazing. So, well, we're so blessed what we get to do. We get to talk to these cool people.
Right. What? And God keeps putting them right. He keeps throwing them right in our way.
Thanks for getting in our way, Christina.
Like, all of a sudden, we have all these women from Nashville that we've never even known before, and they want to talk to us. What is the world coming to?
You're
so lucky.
What is the world
job.
Coming to? Well, she makes that. Yeah, that made us sound pretty not cool. But we're cool, you guys. We're just we're doing our best to spread the message, and it's just so exciting when people are like, I want to be a part of what you're doing, you know, and that we can aid them in promoting what they're doing. And, you know, that's really what FEW is all about. FEW exists, and FEW stands for the Fellowship of Extraordinary Women. It's my organization. And this show really exists to promote extraordinary living for extraordinary women. And not only to empower you guys to live that way, but to give women a place and a platform to tell their extraordinary stories, because FEW believes that every woman's story matters. And that means I need to find a place for them to tell their stories.
Exactly.
This is why we do Coffee with Kim. It's why we publish books, because it's not enough to just say your story matters. I need to prove that by giving you a place and a platform to tell your story.
Right. And, you know, I'm not sure if we've ever actually promoted the fact that FEW is an actual, like, you can join. It's a membership, and you can go to live monthly meetings where Kim hosts every month. And then there's also virtual FEW where people like me who can't be there, you know. Well, what are you doing, Kim?
You guys, I am Heather's watching me on FaceTime. Raise my hand to the Lord. But she's like, what? What are you doing? You guys, guess what?
What?
I just pulled up the stats in Coffee with Kim in our back office.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
We are now in five countries.
Moving along, ladies and gentlemen.
We are in the U.S.
Five
of course
countries.
We are in Nigeria.
What?
We are in Nigeria, Africa.
Where do we go in Nigeria? Way to spread the word.
Oh, so exciting. We're in the Netherlands, we're in Israel, and we're in Norway.
That's
I'm seriously going to take a picture of this and post it in Coffee with Kim. It's so amazing. And then,
You're spreading the word. It's awesome. Way to
thank
go.
Thank you guys so much. And then there's even more blue states in the U.S. I'd have to count them. I'm not going to do that right now. But I will count them, and I'll post that. Five countries and a number almost, well, we're definitely in the majority of U.S. states. Hey, I can count the ones that aren't blue.
Get a little more professional for you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
We are doing a radio show in the next 5 minutes.
There are 19 gray states, so we are in
50 minus 19.
That's right, 50 minus 19. And neither one of us are math professors. We're in 31 states.
31.
Yes, we are 31. That's absolutely correct.
God,
I was waiting for you to say that.
So cool. So we are in more than half of the U.S. And you know what?
Praise
one of those is Texas, and that's massive. So, so you guys, we are spreading the message. And before we wrap up the show, we have one more really important message to share with you. It's our health tip of the show. And
yeah.
Today's health tip, our topic is insecurity sucks. Well, guess what else sucks? Stress.
What? Yes. And stress could probably cause insecurity, right?
Yep. So I was under a little bit of stress these days with my son and other situations going on in our immediate family. And then we're all pitching in to help watch the grandbabies because my son is a very hands-on dad. So he's got his kids a lot. Well, he doesn't have his kids a lot right now without somebody there to pick them up and change their diaper. And, you know, he's got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so we're all pitching in, and that means I'm nannying it up, as I call it, and quite frequently I've got the grandbabies over. And so I mentioned to my husband, man, I'm starting to get this, like, stiff spot between my shoulders. It's like it's starting to lock up. I can just tell, like, I carry my stress in my shoulders and between my shoulder blades and sort of in my neck, that region. And I said, oh, I wish I, you know, had time for a massage before this gets out of control. Well, lo and behold, I opened my purse one day and there's a pink envelope in there with some I love yous. And I open it up and it's a 2-hour massage.
2 hours. What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. That's insane.
My husband hates him right now. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, so do all husbands whose wives are going to quit watching this or listening and go tell their husbands that they never got a 2-hour massage. But so I had my massage yesterday and I was like, man, this is the tip of the show, you guys. Like, I cannot believe the good that did for my entire being, not just my physical body, but my emotions, my mind. I had to slow down and relax for 2 straight hours.
That had to be hard for you.
It was in the middle of the day, too, which I'm good at relaxing at night, but I'm not good at relaxing in the middle of the day. And so that was a challenge. It probably took me the first hour just to shut my brain off.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was so awesome. So I thought I would just share a couple health benefits from massage with you guys and encourage you to make that a regular part of your not only your self-care, but your health journey. Why do I say that? Because it's actually healthy to be massaged. And let me tell you why. Massage enhances your immunity by stimulating lymph flow. So your body's natural defense system are your lymph nodes, and massage stimulates those, getting your immune system working better. It also helps you prepare for, recover from strenuous workouts. So it's part of exercise and being healthy. It can improve the condition of your skin, which is your body's largest organ. It increases joint flexibility. It lessens depression and anxiety. Let me tell you, I didn't have an ounce of anxiety when I walked out of that. I called my husband. I said, I'm drunk. How are you? I was just like, I think I'm slurring my words and stumbling a little when I walk. I was in another world. It was incredible. It promotes circulation. It helps with swelling. It helps alleviate spasms and cramping. And it relaxes overused muscles. And who does not have overused muscles in this day and age, you guys? It can also actually totally alleviate migraines. So your health tip of the week is stress sucks.
Get a massage. Amen. I love it. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we are here now at the end of our show. Do a real quick wrap up because I loved what Christina said, that the cure for insecurity is know who you are in Christ. So take Kim's advice, straighten your crown, pull your shoulders up, and walk it like you are, you know, Christ's daughter because you are, right, Kim?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So we will be back 2 weeks. The second week of each month and the fourth week of each month. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com/coffeewithkim and join us for our coffee on Facebook at facebook.com/group/coffeewithkim. Goodbye, Ms. Kim.
Goodbye, Miss Heather.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.